Staining Alive with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Special guest tonight.
Surprise, Augusta.
Hi.
How's it going now, Augusta from Coromandel Watchdog?
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
So Coromandel Watchdog of Hauraki, to give us our full name, is a community group that started up in the Coromandel 40 years ago to try and protect this incredibly beautiful place from the ravages of industrial gold mining. Mm-hmm. So we've got a very proud 40-year history of saving the Coromandel and keeping it the beautiful place that you guys no doubt know and love.
So it was born out of the sort of original gold mining rush. Kind of thing.
Well, no, the original gold mining rush was,
that was like
the
18.
Turn of the century before last, to be honest.
True.
But in the sort of late 70s, early 80s, there was quite a big, you know, as the gold price creeped up in the 80s there was a big push, particularly from Australian mining companies starting to eye up New Zealand. And one of the places that's really gold rich, unfortunately, is this beautiful place, the Coromandel.
Are you specifically doing work in Waihi, or is it the entire Coromandel?
So we work throughout the Hauraki Rohe, which is the Coromandel, effectively includes the Coromandel range, so it's from Mount Te Aroha up to Mount Moihau. So that would include the sort of Waihi area as well.
Now, recently the town of Waihi's been in the news. I think they've had a consent to extend the gold mining in the town.
Is that the case? Were they going to turn that into a big old lake or something? Isn't that the plan?
That's the rumour, the lake.
Take a while to
You're quite right. The multinational mining company that operates the mine down there at the moment, Oceana Gold, recently announced a significant expansion at Waihi, including expanding the currently collapsing giant pit that they have, also digging a new pit,
and most excitingly,
creating a whole bunch of new toxic tailing ponds and storage. What a lot of people don't realise is at the same time, albeit far more quietly, they've also announced that they're intending to try and mine dockland up behind Whangamata.
What?
Have they been granted consent for this already?
Well, it's a tricky sort of a system with mineral extraction in New Zealand, that they get a permit through central government and then supposedly go, most likely would go through a consent process through the RMA as well. So they've now secured the permits for that, but they've yet to do the consent process, assuming that is, of course, that the Nats don't get in and, what did she say, throw the RMA in the bin.
Now, what's the sort of general awareness of the fact that this is happening down in the Coro?
I didn't know.
The local community know much about it?
Well, everyone knows a lot about the expansion in Waihi. They got a snazzy little 6 o'clock news slot to announce that. At the same time that they were doing that, they announced to their shareholders that they were mining that they were intending to mine conservation land. So whilst the Waihi expansion's pretty well covered, I think, the conservation element, not so much.
Okay. And is this something you want to rally a bit of awareness around?
Oh, 100%. So you guys probably would recall that when the government got in, they made this big speech. They do the speech from the throne where they announce all the things that they're going to achieve in their term
of
government.
From the throne.
Yeah. And one of the things that they promised in the speech from the throne this time around was that there would be no new mines on conservation land. So, hell yeah, we want to raise awareness about this. And on top of that, believe it or not, the area we're talking about is home to the world's most endangered amphibian, which is a tiny little deaf frog called Archie's Frogs. So it's a pretty special place, and we absolutely don't think it's appropriate to be mining up there.
Why the hell are they granting permits to mine on conservation land?
That's a really good question, and I would wholeheartedly encourage yourselves or anyone else who would like to know the answer to that to write to all the ministers involved and find out.
But also, did all the mining make the little frog deaf?
No. The little frog's always been deaf. He's a very old-fashioned type of a guy.
He's just a fortunate bit of luck there. But the last thing that I remembered was that big mine was going to turn into a lake. And then we imagine the whole neighbourhood would have been like, yep, okay, we can kind of deal with that. And then they're like, oh yeah, we're just going to carry on with that situation that we were doing before. But is that a few jobs for everyone, but it's ruining the sort of atmosphere as well?
That's the thing, and it's kind of like, you know, that's one of the things that's so horrible about this particular industry is that they come in, they say, oh, look, we're just going to mine here for 20 years. We'll give you all these jobs. We'll dig up some stuff. But then we'll give you a lake and everything will be fine. Next thing you know, it's 40 years later. There's still no freaking lake. There is a couple of jobs.
How do they make it a lake, though? Like, is there actually a little plug at the bottom of this thing? And they just, okay, we'll just fill that in and now it starts becoming a lake. Surely that takes... What?
Well, to be honest, I'm not too sure on that one either because they're actually announced that as well as expanding that particular pit that they're going to eventually turn into a lake, they're also mining underneath it,
like
as
lake.
Well as mining underneath homes all through Waihi Town.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And just, not that you're sort of an expert on the mining itself, but I'm curious as to how much gold is in one of those trucks coming up the hill. You know what I mean? Like, is that like
a
necklace kind of thing?
One of the cool things that I've found out in the work I've been doing lately is that the rest of the world's taken to not so much mining the land, but actually mining cell phones and laptops and
things. Right, yeah, circuitry.
And so one of the little snazzy little facts that I got through that was that 1 ton of cell phones will produce roughly the same amount and quality of gold as 17 tons of earth.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Mm. So it's something that we're sort of really thinking New Zealand should be moving
recycling
away from digging up beautiful places like the Coromandel and into digging up things like our e-waste.
It's this is one of these crazy things where a company gets like a 40-year consent and they go, oh, we're going to clean up. We're going to clean up after ourselves. And then it comes to the end of their consent period and they go, oh, suddenly we've gone bust. We're going to fold.
Right.
And then they vanish and they never clean up their mess. That seems to be the sort of pattern that these sort of businesses follow.
Pull the finger and do a burnout.
Mm. So I think as New Zealanders need to be sort of wary of what they promise to do when they say, hey, we're going to do
sounds
this,
like a
but
real
clean up.
Sounds like a real monorail type scam.
Oh,
come into town, everyone 100%. Starts singing the monorail song and then damn it.
Yeah. I mean, this is just my sort of casual observation about these sort of practices. But
very, very casual.
No, 100%. And I mean, like, gold mining in particular is really interesting because they get to build these great big huge ponds that are actually full of toxic sludge, and when they've done and they've allegedly cleaned up and given you a lake and whatever other stuff they've promised, they get to leave all of that toxic crap behind. And we get as a community to inherit that and pay to maintain it and try and keep it contained in perpetuity because it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Now, Augusta, what can people look at, or where can they go to find out more about what you're trying to do and raise awareness about?
So we've got a website, which is watchdog.org.nz, but also following us on Facey, Insta and Twitter, we're pretty active on there trying to get the word out to our communities because, oddly enough, the newspapers don't give us, and not so much the newspapers, but we haven't had our little 6 o'clock news slot yet. So
right.
We don't do as well in the media as Oceania and the big boys, but we're trying.
Well, you're on BFM, so pretty much straight to the top.
Highlight of the year.
It's usually a good sign. We're first, so you never know. You never know.
So Coromandel Watchdog of Hauraki.
So our website.
Watchdog.org.nz.
Yeah, that's the one. Mm-hmm. And then same thing, Facebook, Coro Watchdog, Insta, Coro Watchdog, Twitter, Coro Watchdog.
Right on. Hey, keep up the good work.
Hey, cool. Thank you guys so much for giving us the chance to have a little chat with you and let some of your audience know what's happening down here in the beautiful Coromandel, because it really is too precious to mine. Right on.
That's sort of what sustaining life's all about. So thank you very much, and carry on onwards and upwards.
Cool. Kia ora and stay safe, Auckland.
Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.